Welcome back. I'm in conversation with Dermot Walsh from Carsaveen. So Dermot, into the future, when you complete the programme, how do you think you'll be involved in your parish?
I'm still not sure. I suppose I'm going with the flow. Whatever the needs will be, will come to light. My next placement is bringing communion to the hospital. There's other things to happen, whatever the needs that will present themselves. And our ministry is outside the altar. Lots of people who know I'm doing this ask me, well, what are you going to do? You know, I think I'm a deacon. It's not a deacon. And even in the whole aspect of what we're doing, it's not another layer in the clerical sort of stepladder, you know. It really is getting an understanding of our own, as I said, baptismal promises and learning about them and using those. And I know that we're going to finish the course in December and that there'll be more people needed. We have 26 in our course and there's 53 parishes. So I'd love people to become more involved, because that's not sufficient in what we have. I know that the figures at the moment, we have 53 parishes and I think there's 39 priests. 11 of those are over 70 and they're maybe retiring at 2 or so a year on average. There's going to be a huge shortage of faith formation needed in the parishes.
So you're really recommending this to people and saying, you know, it's time to step up or it will be lost.
Correct. Yeah. Well, the values that are there are very important. I think that it would be very easy to just let it go. You know, you look at it from a point of view of going forward or going into the future and you say, what will happen if people don't step forward and be part of their parish and hold on to the values that are being espoused in our Christian faith.
And how have you remained steadfast? You sound like a man who would question things and who would have been involved in everything all the way along. How have you remained steadfast to the Church over the years? Did you never feel like walking away, Dermot?
I did, I suppose. Many times, but there was always that hunger that was within that needed to be satisfied. And I think that this course has satisfied a lot of that hunger that is within. Certainly as we're growing up, but this is what gives me a bit of hope for our own children and grandchildren, is that whatever our ideas are, that we go back to the values of our parents and grandparents. I meet my grandchildren quite often when I visit them, and this year I met the family in Trim, and one of our grandchildren is over from Spain doing the transition year here, and he was there. I bring them for hot chocolates and they love it and they were thanking me, and I said, oh no, there's no such thing as a free meal anymore, but I said, I have work to do with you. And they were asking me what, and I said, well, I read a book recently by Jonathan Sacks. He was a Jewish rabbi in London, and he had written a book called Will My Grandchildren Be Jewish? And I said, I'm looking at you lot. And I said, I'm wondering, will my great-grandchildren be Catholics? And there was a stunned silence, you know. They were asking me why and what was I doing. And I said, well, I was talking about the values. And they were then switched it around to, the whole ecology thing. So they were talking about the theology of ecology when we were finishing. And that was what was important to them. And that's what Pope Francis is now talking about. I suppose these are the values that I hadn't thought about when I was growing up. And now here we are. They're educating me in what they're doing, which is, I came away pleased in a way, but I still wanted to ask them about the faith. So that's another day's work with them. But they know I'm on that trail.
They know about the course you're doing. Do you think that's the route for engaging with young people? Ecology, the environment, the things that they're actually concerned about?
I do, because that occasion was the start of that, and it's part of the next phase that we're doing in our course. I know I visited the church in Killoglen, and behind the church there where they have set aside, I know Sinead, who's one of the people on the course with us, is very involved in that, and she invited me there. It's a wonderful experience to see and to appreciate, and now you can see the importance of it with when the bugs and the bees and stuff are, and birds are around there. And because we have lost so much of our bird life, and the whole ecosystem is breaking down before our eyes, and we don't know it.
So you might do something like that in Carrigsveen?
Perhaps, you know, that's that's on anything like that is on the cards.
Have you a piece of music that you'd like us to play that fits in with what we're talking about here?
There is one. I don't know if you know it. It's Washerwoman. God. This song was played at one stage, and it gave me understanding that God is present in everything. And I think back of my mother when she was doing washing. At that stage, it was a huge chore, and you never associated God with somebody doing the washing clothes, you know, and hanging them out on the line, and it was a big chore, but God was very present, and this song brings that to the fore very clearly, you know. There's a sense of humour in it. It tells a story, and it gives the message that, you know, what the talk about the church breathing on both lungs, male and female, that this is very much part of the new church coming forward, you know.
We call you mighty God, Father eternal, leader of armies, King of kings, Lord of lords. But you are Washerwoman God, we know you in the waters. Washerwoman God, splashing, laughing, free. If you didn't clean the mess, where would we be? Scrubbing, working, sweating, God, cleansing you and me. Make our hearts as white as snow, wash us through and through. Washerwoman, let us be like you. You put on your apron, you roll up your sleeves. We saw you in clouds above while your face was here to see. For you are Washerwoman God, we know you in the waters. Washerwoman God, splashing, laughing, free. If you didn't clean the mess, where would we be? Scrubbing, working, sweating, God, cleansing you and me. Make our hearts as white as snow, wash us through and through. Washerwoman, let us be like you. You wash earth with brooks and streams, rivers, lakes, and seas. Make creation fertile, bearing fruit and giving seed. For you are Washerwoman God, we know you in the waters. Washerwoman God, splashing, laughing, free. If you didn't clean the mess, where would we be? Scrubbing, working, sweating, God, cleansing you and me. Make our hearts as white as snow, wash us through and through. Washerwoman, let us be like you. You cleanse our face with many tears, salt that makes wounds clean, soaking deep and rinsing free, healing us of fear and pain. For you are Washerwoman God, we know you in the waters. Washerwoman God, splashing, laughing, free. If you didn't clean the mess, where would we be? Scrubbing, working, sweating, God, cleansing you and me. Make our hearts as white as snow, wash us through and through. Washerwoman, let us be like you. You kiss the shores with ocean waves, soothe hearts with gentle song. Make the waters teem with life, crashing free and bursting strong. For you are Washerwoman.
Dermot, what do you find most challenging about being part of the Catholic Church today?
I suppose I look at my own story, and St. Bernard of Clairvaux, I read where he said, we must learn to drink from our own well. And I think we need to look at, we need to know the wisdom of our own stories and to work with that. And what I've learned from that, I'd like to bring forward if I can in some way. I read an article from Cardinal Newman where he said 'twas when he looked back on his life, he realized where God was present and where he had encounters. When I look back on my own life, I found, yes, there was an encounter that I didn't know existed that was terribly important. And that really shaped me in my life going forward.
Can you tell us about that encounter?
I can. It was on the 13th of October 1985.
Good while ago, Dermot.
Yeah. We were at home. We were living in Killarney at the time when the doctor was coming to do a checkup with our eldest daughter who had been ill. And Carmel asked them to look at our son, who was 20 days old at the time. She said he wasn't feeding very well. And he immediately asked me to baptize him. I thought it was serious. And
very stressful, very, very upsetting time.
He said I had to take him back to the hospital where he was born, which was Cork. 3 hours later, the consultant pediatrician told me he was dying. And for, I suppose, a couple of hours, we were just waiting to see what would happen. And I don't know if you know the Bonds in Cork.
Know it well, too well.
There's a small church just in under the stairs, a chapel in there. So we went in there, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, two of us were there. Distraught and trying to figure out what was going to happen. And I remember saying to God, if you're up there in the tabernacle, come out of there and go down to the ICU and look after him. And at 8 o'clock the following morning, the nurse came to say that things had improved ever so slightly, but he was still gravely ill. And for a full week, he eventually made it.
That is a great story. That is a great, great happening. Thanks be to God.
Yeah, and now...
And you think it is, thanks be to God.
Now, 39 years later now, they're expecting their third child. So that was an encounter. I didn't know it then, but I believe that that was... intervention.
Absolutely wonderful.
And I suppose the other part of that is that when you look back on the stories in the gospel, you can find, let's say, Saul on his way to persecute Jews in Damascus. He had an encounter and it changed his life. So while these things are very personal, it's not something you go around about telling everybody about.
But I suppose it's something you have to be open to, too.
Yeah, but then the more I went back and looked, because part of the course I had to do a collage on our life, and the more I looked back and I said, certainly there was, God was present in our lives more than we ever gave credit for or realised. But I think everybody has an encounter, and I think that's the encounter that we all experience that will bring us to an understanding that there's a divine presence in us that we have access to, that we really don't maybe realise at times.
And even that exercise for each one of us to look back and see where our encounters were, because sometimes you don't look carefully to see.
Well, that's it. Yeah, you know, Pope Francis is telling us all the time, would you ever stop, go to a corner of your house and find some place silent and stop and listen and reflect. That's what it is, because we're so busy, we're doing, and we're not being, I think, to ourselves where that whole presence is. And some days you'll touch it, and other days you won't, you know.
We'll take a short break now. I'm in conversation with Dermot Walsh. Come back to us after this short break.